Welcome to the latest episode of Public Power Now. I'm Paul Schimpoli, APPA's News Director. Our guest in this episode is Tim Pospisil, Director of Security Technology Outreach and Chief Security Officer at Nebraska Public Power District. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Paul. I'm excited to be here.
Tim, just to get our conversation started, wanted to know if you could give listeners some additional details in terms of your responsibilities at NPPD.
Sure, be glad to, Paul. So recently I was assigned the role that you led off with there. But prior to that, I was NPPD's Director of Corporate Security and Chief Security Officer. And really what's changed for me in the last month is that I'm really now going to be focused on all the things that are external that NPPD is engaged with from a security perspective. So things like this, working with APPA on cybersecurity technology and influences, whether that's congressional or with the Department of Homeland Security and CISA and things like that. But prior to that, my role was I was in charge of physical security, cybersecurity, and NERC-SIP secure compliance. I'm still NPPD's Director of Corporate Security and Chief Security Officer from the perspective of I'm guiding those teams and looking over them, but I don't have direct day-to-day responsibility for operations in those arenas. I still hold the title of NPPD's NERC-SIP Senior Manager. So I am engaged with our NERC program heavily every day and as needed. I'm also currently serving as the chairman of the Large Public Power Council's Cybersecurity Task Force, which is a group that is focused purely on cybersecurity of the Large Public Power Council's members, 27 of the largest public entities in the states. We meet on a regular basis. We work together on issues, and we actually work with APPA very closely and are continuing to want to grow that relationship. I'm also a member of the North American Transmission Forum's Security Practices Group. And just last year, I was able to graduate from the U.S. Department of Energy's Operational Technology Defender Fellowship Program, which was a program that was started by DOE 2 years ago, really focused on how are we going to defend our operational technology from all the threats that are out there. It allowed industry, not only electrical, but natural gas and some others, to get together and talk about how can we work together in unison with the government to defend our critical technologies. So I do hold a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from the University of Nebraska, and then a alphabet soup of different certifications. But my day-to-day job was to deal with physical security, cybersecurity, and NERC-SIP compliance was the primary focus until my recent change.
And I'm sure most listeners are probably already aware of this, but just to clarify, the acronym SIP refers to NERC's Critical Infrastructure Protection. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, okay. Correct. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. As you know, we're an acronym-heavy industry, so
just wanted to
clarify that. So great. So Tim, I just wanted to maybe take the lens out a little and kind of wanted to get your insights in terms of an overview of the current threat environment facing the utility sector, both from a physical as well as a cybersecurity perspective.
Absolutely. So it's no secret that utility companies are a target of both cyber and physical attacks, whether that is from nation states or homegrown violent extremists here within the United States, to disgruntled employees, to challenges with customers. The number and variety of threats continue to increase almost on a daily basis. And unfortunately, individuals and groups who are upset with almost any development across our nation have turned to the electric sector to do harm, if you will, to get their point across and have their voices be heard. The issue doesn't even have to be related to electricity. As an example, we were made aware earlier this year of threats that were being made to electric utilities by both sides of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision that came out. Mm-hmm. And those threats can come from anywhere, and they continue to broaden in areas that they might come from. And while the U.S. government's identified 16 critical infrastructure sectors that are key to our current way of life, I think you could easily argue that electricity is number one on that list, and maybe by a significant margin. Just about all of the other sectors are dependent on the product we provide and deliver to do their work. So, and what's changed over the last 10 years is that while the threat actors are interested in a lot of us, what they're targeting has changed. We've moved on from the, you know, Nigerian king has money for you email schemes to ones where they're directly trying to penetrate and attack our operational networks and get to our crown jewels, the systems that generate and deliver electricity every day. And those threats are only going to continue to get bigger as we continue to electrify more of our life. You think about what's coming with electric vehicles, the electrification of our homes, the electrification of how we do and live our lives or where we're dependent on it. Those threat vectors are going to continue to expand. And we have to be constantly looking at where are those threats coming from and where the new things could be coming.
And would you say it's fair to say, I mean, I guess, yeah, obviously the challenge, the ongoing challenge is always trying to broaden the collective imagination of possible threats out there. But would you say it's fair to say that the industry is doing a good job in terms of kind of staying on top of current and potential threats?
We are. We're doing a really, a very good job, I would say, from all of the critical infrastructure sectors. And this is my personal opinion, obviously, and I might be biased. But I think the electric industry has done a fantastic job of trying to stay on top of that. Are we equal at all levels? No. You know, some of the bigger folks that have the staff and the money to invest in cybersecurity protections and physical security protections have definitely done so. We've worked closely with the government to be better about information sharing between this. But there's still a lot of small, you know, utilities, a lot of municipals and co-ops that are a part of VPPA that's a challenge for. And it's something that we as a larger player in PPD, as well as the large public power council and others, are trying to continue to work with the federal government and others to say, how do we help the smaller guys? How do we make sure that their protections are just as good as the ones that we might have? Because they don't have, like I said, the staff, the time, or the money to necessarily implement all those same tools. So we're not done. It's always a moving target. That's one of the things I tell my executive team and board, that security is never something you check the box and move on. You're never done because it's always changing.
So one of the things that caught my eye as I prepared for this interview with you is the fact that, you know, as you know, MPPD recently joined with Lincoln Electric System, which is also a Nebraska public power utility, as well as the Nebraska National Guard for a cybersecurity exercise. Could you offer additional details on this?
Absolutely. So the exercise was called Cyber Tatanka, and it was led by the Nebraska National Guard in partnership with the Lincoln Electric System, as you mentioned, Nebraska Public Power District, and then Union Bank and Trust was also a key player, as well as the Nebraska National Guard. So it's a two-week event that offered realistic, hands-on, defensive cyber training in an unclassified, closed computing environment. Tatanka enhanced the ability to be interoperable between industry leaders, the National Guard, international military partners, federal, state, local governments, as well as non-governmental entities. And the idea is really to increase readiness for everyone. It's no secret that the bad actors will find a way to get into your environment, no matter how good your protections are, unless, you know, you just unplug yourself from anything, which is certainly unrealistic. And even at that, they might find their ways in. So the idea is to really be more prepared. So a lot of the things that people ask is, where did the name Tatanka came from? So Tatanka is the Lakota word for a big beast or buffalo. So if you think about it, it was cyber big beast is kind of what we came up with. And the Tatanka or the bison was, you know, the most important thing for those Native American tribes. They revered it. It was almost holy to them. They gleaned everything from it, their food, their shelter, their clothing, their tools for their people. And really our idea behind Cyber Tatanka was that we want this exercise to try to be everything for companies in Nebraska. And that's really what it was about. It was for Nebraska, by Nebraska, trying to prepare the industries in Nebraska, not just utilities, not just banks, not just, you know, medical facilities, try to prepare everybody to respond to that incident. And this year was the second year that we held the event in July. And it's an actual live fire exercise where teams were brought in. They got to spend a week in training, learning defense techniques, learning about tools. And then a second week of the event was an actual hands-on live event where you were defending real systems. Most of us don't ever get a chance to defend against, you know, a red team attacker on your own systems. And for obvious reasons, you maybe don't want to do that. So this offered the opportunity for them to do that. It allowed us to test incident response plans, coordination between the Nebraska National Guard, federal agencies, and us. We had representatives from three different countries, the United States, Czech Republic, and the Ukraine. We had seven states participating: Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado, Iowa, South Dakota, Vermont, and Pennsylvania were all part of the exercise. Three branches of the armed services, Air Force, the Army National Guard, and the U.S. Space Force. Seven state and local governments, seven academic institutions, and 13 civilian organizations. So all in all, we covered nine of the critical infrastructure sectors with more than 150 participants.
So Tim, the next couple of questions, I wanted to focus on a North American Electrical Reliability Corporation Electricity Information Sharing and Analysis Center exercise that's taking place in November. It's the seventh biannual Grid Security and Resilience exercise, also known as GridX, which is taking place on November 14th and 15th of this year. So first, wanted to know if you could offer an overview of this exercise and also detail NPPD's participation in the exercise.
Absolutely. So NPPD has been participating in GridX since GridX 3. We were observers of GridX 1 and 2, but since that point, we have been a full participant in GridX. But GridX is an exercise that's really designed to test the resilience of the North American electricity system in the face of a coordinated attack from a nation-state adversary. And by coordinated attack, that means not only cyber, but physical as well. The idea and objectives behind it are to allow folks to exercise your incident and operating and communications plans to respond to an imminent cyber, physical, and other threats around reliable operation, to enhance the coordination between state and local governments, as well as potentially suppliers of critical operations, to manage interdependencies between the natural gas sector, telecommunications, and other critical sectors, because we are all dependent on one another in various ways to do our job every day. And again, mentioned to exercise IT and communication system failures, and then to respond to emergency events. GridX really is targeted at how can we as a country be better prepared to respond to a nation state attack should something like this happen. And it's understanding those interdependencies. And those are some of the best lessons learned that come out of GridX every year, is we identify additional places where something might happen in one sector and it affects operations in another sector that we hadn't considered. Or things like our dependency on natural gas fuel source for generation. If a gas pipeline is a target, and how can that affect our generation portfolio? Things like that. So NPPD this year is going to have between 175 and 200 of our staff involved in playing the drill, including our executive team and our CEO. We'll also be working with our balancing authority, who in our case is the Southwest Power Pool, SPP, as well as players from DHS, CISA, FBI, the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency, and other utilities within the state of Nebraska who will play out that scenario over 2 days.
Now, you mentioned lessons learned, and correct me if I'm wrong, but after each of the GridX events, I believe there's a formal kind of after action report that details those lessons learned. Is that correct?
There is. Yes, there is. Okay. They do that every year. In addition, and one thing I didn't fail to mention earlier, is they also do on Friday a select group of CEOs from various sectors are led through a tabletop exercise targeted at a particular region. I believe this year that region is in the Midwest, which is where they get CEOs around the table from those industries, and they run through a tabletop scenario with them that is slightly different than GridX itself, and really allows those regional entities to coordinate better and talk with one another and work through those scenarios versus a national sort of event that GridX is as a whole.
And so I guess the next question I'd have for you is, you know, obviously there's always room for additional utilities to participate. So what would you say to a utility that has yet to participate in the exercise, is maybe kind of sitting on the fence about it in terms of what the benefits are for participating?
Sure. I think I would encourage all utilities, regardless of size, to participate as you can. And that is one of the beauties of GridX, is you can do as much or as little as you want as a participant of GridX. NPPD has taken the position that we have a planning team that begins working on our GridX engagement a year in advance. And what we have done with GridX is take the scenarios that the general scenarios that the GridX planning group puts together, and then we customize those for our system, for our operations. But you don't have to go to that level of of engagement. If you're a smaller utility or an entity that hasn't participated, you can just receive the injects from GridX and do a tabletop discussion about if this were happening and these things were going on around you, how would you respond? What would you do? Who would you contact? Who would you talk to? So several key benefits that you get from participating, obviously, is you get to exercise your incident response plan. Like it or not, if you don't have an incident response plan, this will certainly highlight the need for one, because generally it's going to be a matter of when, not if, you're going to have an incident occur. I think we all recognize that the likelihood of you having a cyber incident at some time during your tenure at a company is pretty high. So you have that opportunity to practice those plans, both cybersecurity, physical security, your information technology recovery, because that's one of the things that you simulate in GridX is that maybe you lose systems. Like, for example, 2 years ago, when we did GridX for us, we simulated the loss of our ERP system taken out by ransomware as a part of the grid or part of the exercise. And it brought to light several different things that we hadn't thought about before. It forced our power plants to have to think about, how do I operate if my ERP system is unavailable? The system where we do purchasing, the system where all of our material inventory is stored or, and, you know, is recorded. Mm. It's the system where all of our HR stuff sits. If that's not available, how do I do it? What do I do? How do I recover? Is my IT team prepared to recover those? Should I lose them? The other thing, several GridXs ago, it identified that we needed further coordination between our executive group. So we created a specific executive response team as a result of GridX, and we are now much more robust in how we test that, how we drill it, how those things are going to intertie with recovery exercises. We as an industry are very good with recovering from power outages. We know exactly how to do that. Cyber and physical security incidents are a little different because a cyber incident might take out those components, but it isn't like a storm that's taken a line out. We know how to put a line back up in the air. How do we rebuild a system that all of the components that operate it are might now be bricks and are unavailable? And so how do we do that? And that's what GridX really can do for you.
And I would imagine, given the biennial nature of this, that would increase the serious nature of a utility needing to seriously think about participating this year, right?
Very much so. Yeah. I think given the threat landscape that we see, I think it's really important for us to be more and more engaged with GridX. It also gives you another perspective of how the federal government shares information with you mm-hmm. and with us, and how we can share back with them, building that relationship. The last thing you want to do is have to place a call to either the FBI or your local DHS CISA representative when you're in the midst of a crisis. You need to develop those relationships ahead of time so they know who you are, you know who they are. It's not the first time that you have to call them. So GridX allows you to do that in a controlled environment in an exercise format. And I think that's one of the best things that that can come out of that is to develop those relationships further.
That's a great point. So, yeah, I thought now would be a good time to mention to our listeners that additional details about the exercise, including registering for it, are available at the EISAC website at www.eisac.com/s/. Tim, thanks so much for participating in this podcast. It's really been informative, and would love to have you back perhaps early next year to kind of maybe review the exercise and those lessons learned that we talked about earlier.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. In my new role in outreach, I guess, to the folks, that's exactly what my role is here, is to help others. I have a passion for making all of us better from a cyber and physical perspective. So however I can help do that, I appreciate it. And I'm very much thankful for you asking me to do this today.
Sure thing. Thanks again, Tim.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Public Power Now, which is produced by Julio Guerrero, graphic and digital designer, APPA. I'm Paul Schimpoli. We'll be back next week with more from the world of public power.